All right, welcome back to 823. Ava Graham is here to change our question. What's the final read on our first one, Ava?
Well, it's brought to you by Armin Chevrolet, wishing their employees, customers, and WIP listeners happy holidays. Find new roads to Armin Chevrolet closer than you think. Who is the MVP of the NFL so far this season? 89% Jalen Hurts.
There you go.
9 out of 10. What are you other people looking at?
7% Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm.
Patrick, you are trailing the field by a lot.
You know, Peter King said it's a toss-up right now between the two.
Peter King is incorrect.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go
New
ahead.
New question. Which is the better NFL team? The 2017 Eagles or the 2022 Eagles?
2022 Eagles. Jonesy.
2022 Eagles.
Al.
Well, at this point in the season, 2022 Eagles.
No, there's no in at this point. It doesn't say at this point in the question. Which was or is the better NFL team? The 2017 Eagles or the 2022 Eagles?
17.
All right. Well, see, I have to rephrase it so that I took out your words. Rhea?
I refuse to answer your stupid questions.
What the hell?
Rhea.
Good answer.
I got to tell you something.
Yes.
And this is friend to friend.
Yes, friend to friend.
God bless Joe the camera. That's all I could say. We got a lot of years together. We understand each other. She does this with the camera. All bets are off. That's all I'm saying. All right. On the line with us, Al, is a guy who can cover two sports, and I could ask some tough questions, too. He is from Eagles podcast, Eye on the Enemy, and the Phillies podcast, Hitting Season. He is also a writer for both Bleeding Green Nation and The Good Fight. Ladies and gentlemen, a man of two seasons, John Stallness. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, John, is Howie Roseman the best general manager in American sports?
Wow. He's certainly in the conversation. I can't think of anyone who's having a better string right now than he is. And he's already won a Super Bowl, and he's got another. You were just talking about the question, the 2017 Eagles or the 22 Eagles. It's pretty crazy that he's built two potential Super Bowl teams in 5 years with the whole completely different rosters. So, I mean, without anybody better in mind, I'll say, yeah, sure.
Well, here's the thing, John. A.J. Brown, he stole him. He just stole him, right? All those big boys in the middle of the line that stopped Derrick Henry, all those guys he got in the last year or two, right? The big kid, the first-round draft pick, then Sue, then Joseph.
Yeah.
He has gotten all those people. He got even to Kobe Dean. We forgot he was on the team, and he finally played a little yesterday. He looked terrific. How is he doing this, John?
Yeah, he's mixed some good drafting these last couple of years and really maximizing the Jalen Hurts contract and building a roster around him where he knows he has some money that he can spend on all these different places. And I was thinking about this earlier today. Yeah, you're right. Every weakness that this team seemed to have coming into this season, he filled. And it's how rare is it that a team comes into a season with all these different question marks and you add these different veterans during the course of the summer and sometimes even as you're late into training camp, you know, bringing in Gardner Johnson and everybody else, and they all worked out. They've all worked out. There hasn't been a miss. And we saw that in 2017 when he brought in Ajayi, LeGarrette Blount, and all these other different guys that it all just worked out. He seems to have his finger on being able to add these veteran guys on these one-year deals to kind of act as stopgaps. James Bradbury's another one, and they've all done amazing. It's been great.
No, I got to ask you, while we're on the GM topic, can you give me one good reason why the Titans would trade a great wide receiver at 24 years old like A.J. Brown? Does that make any sense to you, John?
You throw all the money you can at a guy like that. And I was talking to a guy who writes for the SB Nation Titans website for my podcast last week, and he made the point the Titans have had a miserable history of drafting wide receivers. I think the last one before that was like Kevin Dyson. So you have A.J. Brown in your building. You have this true number one receiver who's one of the five or seven best wide receivers in football. How do you not go out of your way to pay that man whatever he wants? And that's what it came down to. It came down to money. They didn't want to outlay that kind of cash to A.J. Brown, which is insanity. You see what a true number one wide receiver, what that does to your offense, how it makes everybody so much better. it's ludicrous that they chose to trade him rather than pay him.
All right. Earlier in the show, Elliot Shore Parks came on, and he decreed that this Eagles team is destined to make it to the Super Bowl. Do you agree with that, John?
Well, I don't know that I would have gone that far until yesterday, but you saw what they did to the Titans, and then the 49ers obviously lose Jimmy Garoppolo to that season-ending injury, so they've got their third-string quarterback. I thought the 49ers and the Cowboys were their biggest obstacles, and I think you have to knock the 49ers down a couple of pegs playing a third-string quarterback for the rest of the season. So it's really, I think this Super Bowl is going to come down to the Eagles and the Cowboys, and I think it's going to come down to who has home field advantage in the playoffs if these teams meet. That Christmas Eve game is looking like a monster game for home field advantage in the NFC. The Eagles have the advantage right now. The Giants look weaker. So these two games coming up, this game coming up against the Giants this week looks like it's not going to be as formidable as it did in the early part of the season. And so that Christmas Eve game against Dallas, really, I think that's the biggest challenge, because the rest of the conference is just such, it's a huge step below where the Eagles are right now. It is setting up beautifully for them to get there.
All right, John, the next question I ask, you are the most qualified of any person in Philadelphia to answer. All right?
Wow.
So think of this carefully before you present the answer.
All right.
Who is a bigger star in Philadelphia sports right now, Jalen Hurts or Bryce Harper?
How much dead air can you afford to have here?
Come on, Stolness, think it through. Just picture you got a little boy, and he's a big sports fan, and he would like a jersey under the Christmas tree. Are you putting Harper under there, or are you putting Hurts?
I don't, this is not a slight against one guy or the other. I think Harper having a longer track record, Harper having gotten the team to the World Series, and Harper under contract for a longer amount of time, I think at the moment it's probably Bryce Harper, and only because I think there's more certainty still with Bryce Harper than with Jalen Hurts, although I would throw all the money at Jalen Hurts right now and make him the guy for however long he wants to be here. I think by a razor's edge, it's Bryce Harper. But that could also be the baseball homer in me, Angelo. You know that I'm slightly more of a baseball guy than a football guy. But that is a coin flip.
It's very, very close either way, for sure. Yeah. All right, that segues me to a little bit of baseball. They're at the winter meetings right now, and we were hearing that the Phillies were odds on to get Trey Turner for shortstop. Mm-hmm. But now we hear Turner has met twice with the Padres. Is Turner, where's he ended up? And are we going to know this week?
I think we are going to know this week. It sounds like these shortstops are getting settled out. They're all meeting with all the different teams. It is a little concerning, the second meeting with the Padres, for sure. It's everything you heard leading up to this week was that Turner wanted to come back and play on the East Coast. Obviously, San Diego would be as far away from that as possible, but you look at the Padres, you look at the Phillies, these are two World Series contenders, the two teams in the NLCS last year. The Padres would have to do a little bit more roster manipulation in order to kind of get Turner on there, you'd have to move Tatis to the outfield and move some stuff around. The Phillies are a more obvious fit.
Yep.
I still think he probably winds up in Philadelphia. I am a little concerned about the second Padres meeting, but these guys are just all doing their due diligence right now, so I wouldn't get too worried about it.
All right, what about pitching? What are they going to do, John?
Yeah, that's a million-dollar question. And there's a slew of these mid-tier guys like Chris Bassett, Jameson Taillon, a lot of guys like that, Jose Quintana. These are guys who will help get you through a 162, right? And I think you need to get one of those guys. It's going to cost – the pitching market is insane right now. It's going to cost you an extra year. It's going to cost you more money than you would ideally like to spend on, say, a 34-year-old guy. You might have to give a guy like Pat Bassett 4 years instead of three. But if you want a guy to help get you through a 162, a guy you could potentially use in game four, or at the very least allow you to start Andrew Painter's season a month later so that you can have Andrew Painter in the rotation in September and use him as your Christian Javier, like the Astros did in game four of the World Series, have him be that kind of guy for you. You have to get at least one of those type of guys here during the course of the next couple of weeks or months. And I think they will either land a free agent or swing a trade. And that's the thing about the winter meetings. Trades, these weird trades happen of players you would never see coming. And that's the kind of thing I always really look forward to at these
Me
meetings.
Me too. It's always a lot of fun. John Stoll is very busy these days. Thank you, John.